All cities, sub-districts, the locals treasure as their go-to destination for food and drink, be it places with cheap but top-class vegetables or street food stalls or restaurants getting global fame on lists of the world's best restaurants, we are going to get to know them. I am Markus Hippi and this is episode 1 of Monocle's brand new bite-sized show Food Neighborhoods, coming to you from the team behind the menu. In each episode, we delve into one city in the world to speak to a local guide who takes us on a tour of an area that is cherished by food-loving locals. This week, we head to the Hong Kong neighborhood of Sham Shui Po. From the low-cost but flavorful wonton soup noodles to delicious fried dishes at HK Alfresco Bistro Tai Pai Dong, this neighborhood offers the most vibrant Cantonese palates from day to night. With more young creatives moving in these years, one may find discerning baristas serving coffee just a corner away from silky smooth milk tea at a decades-old family-run HK Bistro. Let's now hear from Monocle's Hong Kong Bureau Chief James Chambers and our guide for today, food writer Janice Leong Hayes.
Sham Shui Po is a very working class neighborhood, and it's always been this way. And as a result, a lot of good, hearty food and so-called street food can be found here. And I think it's really interesting that you find a lot of actually trends starting in Sham Shui Po, but they don't really become mainstream until they leave the area. So it's interesting to see where it all started and to also visit some of the really old school food factories where they're still making things like noodles and tofu.
You mentioned noodles. Can you tell me where we're headed and what place you've picked out for us first?
So I've picked out a place called Lau Sam Gay, and they have been around since the 1940s or so. They started out as a mobile food cart, and they make their own noodles still, and they're known for their wonton noodles and their beef brisket noodles, as well as shrimp roe, which is kind of an interesting combination because it sort of tells you a lot about Hong Kong's past as like a fishing village and how we eat really kind of fishy umami flavors.
So why did you pick this place? What kind of dishes do you suggest?
So definitely the wonton noodles, and you can actually, so the basic things are like wontons, water dumplings, which are basically sort of like wontons with extra ingredients, so like pork and mushrooms instead of just shrimp, which is what wontons are. And then there's also beef brisket, which is slow cooked. So you can basically combine these in any way you like. You can have just wonton, you can have wonton and water dumplings, or you can have wontons and beef brisket and shrimp roe. And I mean, everyone has their own favorite sort of way to combine these. So it's a pretty typical way of eating at a Hong Kong style noodle shop. And I like that they still make their own noodles. They're really, their texture is quite interesting. You could call it al dente, but it's actually a sort of almost crisp texture that's created by putting in an alkali solution into the noodle dough. So yeah, and they're really well known for that.
Given that all the tables are occupied and we're still standing in the queue, let's head to the next place you picked out for us.
Sure.
Where's next?
Tofu. So the tofu place is called Gongwo, and it's a tofu factory that's been around since the 1950s, and they make their tofu in-house, which means they also make a really nice super soft tofu dessert called daofu fa, or tofu pudding, or tofu flowers sometimes we call it, because it's so delicate, they're like petals. So yeah, that's, and they do all manner of things like soybean milk. They have fermented tofu, so basically all of your kind of tofu-related products you can find there. So this is it, Gongwo. So you can smell the soybeans kind of at the back. You can look into, it's quite a deep shop, even though most of the customers are sitting out front. The back is actually the factory. So there's trays and trays of tofu. They use wooden trays that are slightly, they've got these slight gaps along the sides of the tray so that when you press the tofu, water can come out. And that's actually, that determines how firm the tofu is. The more water you press out, the firmer the tofu is. But the basic ingredients are the same. Soy beans, or soy milk, basically, and gypsum and water. that's tofu. And you can see he's already cut some nice cubes here ready to go for people to buy and take home to cook. And there's also next to us, there's also someone pan frying some tofu that's been filled with some fish paste or fish cakes, and they pan fry that. You can eat it with chili sauce, and that's a great snack. A lot of kids come after school to have some. And another thing is the tofu pudding that I was talking about. So basically that's a super soft set tofu. So it's not put into the wooden trays, and it's put instead into a big tub, and it's allowed to set, and they scoop it out with kind of like a ladle, and they put it in a bowl. And then at the table, you can add sugar syrup or red sugar. And they're also selling fermented tofu in bottles. So that's kind of like, I guess it's kind of like feta. It's basically cubes of tofu sitting in a brine. And some of that brine has chili flakes. Some of them are just salt and rice wine and some vinegar.
Okay, that was a masterclass in tofu. Where's next?
So the next place we're heading to is called San Heng Yun, and it's a pretty generic name. It means a new garden of fragrance, which, you know, they're just really common kind of names that Chinese people, like Hong Kongers, like to name their eateries. And it's open 24 hours, actually. This is an interesting point to make. There's a few, there's quite a few restaurants in Sham Shui Po that are open 24 hours. I think it's because a lot of people who live in the neighborhood work shifts, and it makes sense for the eateries to therefore open at all hours.
So this is the place?
This is San Heng Yun. And so they're known for their toasted sandwiches with scrambled egg and corned beef. So you can see that all of these ingredients are not really native to Hong Kong, but Hong Kongers have kind of co-opted them and made it their own. So that's their most famous thing. And they also have, of course, milk tea. So shall we go in? Basically, as soon as our bums have touched the seats, they're waiting for our order. So basically, everyone coming in here knows what they're getting almost. It's like a very conscious decision to come in, and they don't really give you time to look over the menu. So I've already ordered the toasty that I was just talking about. So the other, for drinks, I'd suggest we definitely get a milk tea. And because it's so hot out, probably an iced milk tea. And with milk teas, you can pretty much customize it as you like, just like going into a chain coffee shop these days. You can ask for sugar, like a full amount of syrup, because it's cold, they don't give you granulated sugar, they give you syrup. So you can get syrup, or you can get like less or half the syrup, or no sugar at all. And you can also get what's called a yin yang, which is half coffee and half tea with evaporated milk in.
So we've ordered two toasties.
We've just ordered one of the toasties at the moment.
And some...
No drinks yet, because I was waiting to see what we wanted, but I sort of just stalled him for a bit.
Yes, I think given the heat, it's two milk teas.
Yeah. Sugar?
Yes, please.
Full amount of syrup, half.
So we've just polished off our Hong Kong version of a toasted sandwich with a Hong Kong version of milk tea. Where are we going for our last place in Sham Shui Po?
So our last place is a pour over coffee shop.
So this is the new kind of hipster place that is...
The new Sham Shui Po that's emerging.
You've already mentioned that there are a number of 24-hour places here. So what does it get like? What does this neighborhood get like after dark?
In the evenings, actually, a lot of the restaurants are really, really busy. It's not unusual to have to wait for maybe at least 15, 20 minutes for a table if you've got a large group with you at most of the eateries. And I'd say a lot of them don't take reservations, so it's just walk-ins, and there are lots of people who are just regulars and across this road. Lots of people who are regulars, and obviously there's a bit of favoritism at times, and you can see if you're not a regular, they might not give you a seat first. But it's kind of it's very a neighborhood kind of environment. So So we're turning on Tainan Street, which is a continuation of all of the fabric wholesalers, and you'll see a lot of fabric and leather and things like that around here. And amongst all these leather shops and accessories, there is Cafe Sausalito, which is a new coffee shop where they do basically third wave coffee, pour overs, and some cafe food.
How would you describe the coffee culture in Hong Kong? Because we've had a milk tea before. It's not necessarily something that was traditionally drunk in these parts. How has it grown over the last few years?
I think coffee, so first we saw big chains coming into Hong Kong, but then now we're seeing more and more people who are interested in roasting, like local roasting, and also single origin coffees, and definitely the third wave has arrived in Hong Kong. There's been a continuous flow of baristas from Hong Kong participating in international competitions and actually winning awards. So that has kind of upped the game in terms of training, in terms of like knowledge of coffee, and making it a really popular thing for people who are into food and drink.
I guess it tells you a lot about the area that all the places we've been to so far have been full to the brim, and yet the hipster coffee shop looks actually quite empty at the moment. Maybe it's not time for coffee.
No, not yet. So we're at Cafe Sausalito at number 201 Tainan Street. This is definitely a more quiet part of Sham Shui Po, like it's mostly the fabric wholesalers. But yeah, this is an interesting place for a cafe to be, and it's definitely not in the main thoroughfare. So actually at prime lunchtime, it's quite empty.
And I guess we've just bought, we paid 50 Hong Kong dollars for lunch, and now we've spent 30 Hong Kong dollars on dinner. So I imagine paying 50 Hong Kong dollars for a coffee is probably not going to be that popular in these parts, but let's see how they get on in the next few years as more and more cool people move in and are willing to pay silly money for coffee.
Food writer Janice Leong Hayes there guiding Monaco's bureau chief James Chambers in Hong Kong's Sham Shui Po district. That was episode 1 of Food Neighbourhoods here on Monaco 24. We are back next Tuesday with episode 2 that takes us to East London. Also remember to tune into the menu every Friday at 1900 London time. I am Markus Hippi. Thank you for listening and goodbye.